my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. The American view of how the Cold War ended is one of many. Reporter and author James Mann has looked diligently and in depth at the complex flow of events and the many actors involved. His account is based on facts rather than convenient fiction.
Let me come back to the Cold War again, and a story that I try to tell in the rebellion of Ronald Reagan. The Europeans have a completely different perspective on how the Cold War ended. And their perspective is emphasizes, well, if you're specifically German, it emphasizes West Germany's role in opening up to East Germany and Eastern Europe. But more generally, the Germans and others in Europe emphasize the role of what were called the Helsinki Accords in 1976, the idea that the Soviet Union was, through negotiations, signed on to an agreement that gave some standing for people to review the internal policies of the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe in dealing with their own people. And it gave, for the first time, some formality and some role to dissidents in Eastern Europe.
Often the context gets lost in the daily news. After 20 years of reporting for the Los Angeles Times, James Mann has stepped away from his work on a daily newspaper. He's applied his skills to understanding and presenting an accurate portrait of American politics over the last 40 years. Two of the resulting books, The Rebellion of Ronald Reagan and Rise of the Vulcans, have served to recalibrate our understanding of that period and consequently our view of what needs to be done today. James Mann, I am often taken with how in this time of technology and do your Twitter and do your tech, all this kind of stuff, and in a really deeply, in many ways, material world, how important ideas are. And I was reminded of that over and over and over again as I thought along with you with your book, The Rebellion of Ronald Reagan, and then I went back and read it in that order, Ronald Reagan, and then went on to The Rise of the Vulcans. Lest we forget, ideas are really important, aren't they?
For sure. You know, we often don't recognize how important they are until you look back and you say, you know, why did this happen or what was he thinking? And then you see, and you know, from day to day, day in and day out, if you watch the daily nightly news shows, you don't see the influence of ideas. Sometimes in political campaigns, you don't see the influence of ideas, but yeah.
You say, I think it's in your acknowledgments on the Reagan book, how important conversations are, interviews, mm-hmm, discussions,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, right?
Which I think is not irrelevant to what Paula is talking about, that I can't even remember who it was who first said to us that newspapers are the first cut of history.
Right.
It was John. I think it was Donald Oberdorfer, as a matter of fact.
He said it to us. I'm sure. I don't know if it was original.
He wasn't original.
But one of the interesting, very interesting thing about the work you've done is we all, I think, have an impression of various eras, and for those of us of a certain age, right, the things you're writing about are very familiar. They're part of our life experience, and we sort of assume that by keeping up with the current news, that we know what's going on.
Current events isn't necessarily everything, is it?
And we thought we understood what had happened in these various periods and what the flows were. And through revisiting the history, revisiting the document, but also you say these conversations, these mm-hmm, interviews you were able to conduct, I at least came away with a radically reconceived notion of
enhanced,
what was going on.
What happens is that, you know, we witness events and we read about them at first, and they get crystallized into an image. Sometimes it's an image that's manipulated by others, but sometimes it's our own. But one way an image catches on, and then you don't come to revise it. So in the case of the Reagan book, what it's about, people have on both or all sides of mm-hmm, the political spectrum.
It's pretty much both in that one, I think.
Have an image of Reagan, yeah, as the cold warrior, the hawk. And, you know, it's a fair question how much this was true in Reagan's first four years. It's an image that he cultivated. But, in fact, in the period that I'm really writing about, which is about 85 to 88, when Mikhail Gorbachev becomes the Soviet leader, not only is this image contrary to fact, but Reagan, in fact, during this period, is fighting the conservatives, his own constituencies. He's fighting also these sort of Washington foreign policy establishment as he's proceeding with Gorbachev, because the whole fight is about does Gorbachev represent something new in the Soviet Union or not? And the Cold War imagery is nothing in the Soviet Union could be new.
We are going to continue this conversation at considerable length with James Mann in just a moment. The impetus for this conversation is his book, The Rebellion of Ronald Reagan, and then he has written also about those who came after. So be with us. We have a lot more to be said.